You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze, look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for The Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris.
Hello, listeners and callers, and people that are online with us. Good afternoon, morning, evening, wherever you're at. I hope you're having a great Halloween day, Day of the Dead Eve. We have Edie Stone with us today, who's going to explain and tell us about the history of Halloween in the Celtic tradition. And she's a Celtic shaman, and she does a lot of other shamanic work, and I'm going to let her talk about that. And she works a lot with grief and loss, and that's a lot of what this day is about. And with that, Edie, you want to talk about how you got into this work and how, you know, the Celtic Samhain practice is done differently than Halloween here?
Sure. Anjanlyn, I'd like to thank you for hosting and welcome all of our audience here. Before I get completely into the history and a lot of talk and whatnot, I'd like to start us off with a little bit of poetry. And I also have some fairy bells to set the mood here. So I'm going to bring us back to Halloween, October of 1909, and a poem that appeared in Harper's Weekly by A.F. Murray. A gypsy flame is on the hearth, sign of this carnival of mirth. Through the dun fields and from the glade flash merry folk in masquerade. It is the witching Halloween. Pale tapers glimmer in the sky. The dead and dying leaves go by. Dimly across the faded green, strange shadows, stranger shades are seen. It is the mystic Halloween. Soft gusts of love and memory beat at the heart reproachfully. The lights that burn for those who die were flickering low. Let them flare high. It is the haunting Halloween. So welcome to the ancient and modern holiday of Halloween. And in the Celtic realm, that is Samhain, a word that's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but is pronounced Samhain or Samhain, not like it's spelled. So we'll be talking about, as you said, the history. Samhain is a festival. It was maybe the most important festival in the ancient Celtic world, because it was the end of the harvest. It was a 3-day festival that was held around this time of year, maybe more on a lunar time than a solar calendar that they had at that time, a combination. The tribes would gather. People would have harvested everything. Anything that was left in the ground at this time of year could not be harvested afterwards. It would be left for the fairies. And great feasts, storytelling, and in that time is also the time that, because we're changing so rapidly in the seasons, it was the time when the veils between the worlds, that the dark is rising, and we're going into, actually, in the Celtic and British sense of time, we're going into winter right at this time. the end of October, the beginning of November, is still in Britain, in England, in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, is felt to be the beginning of winter. By the time we get to our beginning of winter on the winter solstice, they're at midwinter, and that ancient word of midwinter and midsummer notes this change of seasons more from the midpoint between the solstices and equinoxes. So it's the end of the old year, and everything's harvest, big feasts, offering to the ancestors, just in the same way that Native Americans would offer food, a spirit plate, offering food, culling the animals from the herds for the winter, bonfires, bone fires, and this sense of, because it's the end of the year, there's an opening, a spiritual opening. It's getting dark, and it's much darker up in the northern latitudes. Like if we were in northern Scotland right now, it would be getting quite dark at this time of year. So at the time of the spirits coming out, and needing some, if you were to go out, you would want to go out with some protection, some disguise, even if you didn't have anything, a coat turned backwards, a mask of some sort, so that you wouldn't be, you know, much in view. As this time came through the centuries, that turned into mummers and geysers, which comes from, it's like disguise. Geysers were groups of boys, young men, going from farm to farm or from around the town and singing, asking for food, getting some food, maybe a penny here or there, a way of both entertaining and actually taking some food back maybe to their families. So that has turned into our trick-or-treat, both that sense of there may be goblins and ghosts and skeletons haunting around, and also that sense of going from door to door at what would have been then the new year. So those same mummers and geysers show up again around Christmas, around Yule, and in the new year on our calendar. So that's a little overview. What else would you like to know?
And in this, well, you're going to be doing a ceremony on November 2nd, right, in Boulder, around
mm-hmm.
this ceremony. Can you tell
us
that's right. that information and everything
sure.
about that and how people can get a hold of you?
Sure. That is, it's Samhain, the soulful side of Halloween, and it will be this Sunday, November 2nd, 2014, in case people are listening later.
Mm-hmm.
It will be at the Solstice Center at 302 Pearl Street, just near the mouth of Boulder Canyon in downtown Boulder. My number is 303-415-3755, and you can get more information at ediestone.com. So in this ceremony, we will be honoring the ancestors and all the Halloween parties will be over, and it's time to deepen more into the Celtic traditions at the turning of the year from harvest into winter. And these are all things that you can do on your own this evening or any time that you pick up the recording of this
mm-hmm.
broadcast. Offering gratitude for the gifts of autumn, offering gratitude to your ancestors, honoring, in our sense, the old ones, both male and female.
Mm-hmm.
The old ones in this tradition would be the ancient mother, called in Gaelic the Kaliach, who is the hag of the hills, the creator goddess, the holder of life and death. And the antlered god Cronunnos, who holds that male energy at this time of the season, when deers and the deer are fully antlered, but soon we'll lose those antlers in the winter. So that, again, that sense of letting go through the passage of time here.
Mm-hmm.
And in our ceremony, we also honor those who have passed this year, including Robin Williams, and touch into our grief and then release what no longer serves us. So we'll also do a journey, a little journey into the winter mysteries. So those are all things that, even if you're not in Colorado, if you can't come on Sunday, November 2nd, you can do, maybe after the trick-or-treaters are all gone, you can light a fire or just gather yourself in a quiet way and honor your ancestors, touch into your grief if you've lost someone, think of the good things that they brought you in your life, you know, that kind of a harvest, and let go of what you don't need, to those habits, those things that have been annoying, the stuff that you just can't, you know, change anymore. Let go of that and be ready to welcome the new year tomorrow.
And I think that's the cool thing, is that this is like doing the death part of it, and then tomorrow is about the reawakening and
mm-hmm.
moving
mm-hmm.
into this new era. And it's also the time. It's funny because this morning I had a discussion with some women at a breakfast, and we were talking about how things have changed so much around Halloween, that it was about harvest and about the celebration of the harvest and everything that they had worked so hard for over the past three quarters of the year, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
And I find it very interesting that people are starting to notice that, you know, it's because you're seeing more violence in the Halloween segment rather than that it's not all about that. It's about letting go of what doesn't serve us. You know,
right.
And then allowing ourselves to go forward and working on that grief loss, you know, because in the winter it is like a loss because we have a loss of daylight and that type of thing. But it's also, I think, when you tend to be more still so you can grieve what is left in your life.
Mm-hmm. And there's a sense of, you know, what are the seeds that you're holding from, you know, that harvest as well. In our culture, we have, of course, jack-o'-lanterns, and if you're making a jack-o'-lantern, it's good to save those seeds, not just toss out that mess, but sort through it and clean them up a bit, and then you've got some very nutritious seeds for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of history. Pumpkins are a fruit from native North America. And in Britain, they didn't have pumpkins, but they did, especially the poor people out in the countryside, they did have some need for a lantern that could take them out into the fields or guide them home when it was getting dark, even from, you know, from the barn to the house. And they used to carve out turnips. Great big, as big turnips as you could get, Swedes or turnips, rutabagas, and carve them out and put a flame in there, use that as a torch.
Mm-hmm.
And in Halloween, they would carve out those faces. And so we get the carving from that, and the pumpkins are much, much easier to carve than a turnip.
Yeah, exactly.
Much more successful. But yeah, you mentioned, you know, like the, you know, Hollywood has taken the horror and terror and blood and gore, and you know they make money off of that. But that's not really what this mm-hmm. holiday is about. After the change of civilization, after the church came in to the Celtic realm, they originally they tried to stamp out all the folk traditions, but that just didn't work. They just went too deep. It was too much a part of everyone's life. So actually Pope Gregory decided to just follow whatever the folk traditions were and bring them inside the church. So that three-day traditional feasting and gathering and honoring the ancestors and some fear of ghosts and goblins became... it was renamed as Hallow Mass, the Mass for All Saints. So Halloween, the Eve, Hallow Evening, is the evening before All Saints' Days or Halloween, All Hallows Mass. And then they're also added All Souls Days after that. So the Celtic sense of time, we start the day at evening at that liminal, beautiful period where the sun is setting and it's starting to get dark. We start the day at twilight. This is very much like in the Jewish calendar, starting the day with the evening, going into the night. The first part of Hallowmas would have been the evening before All Saints, All Souls Day. So that evening is the most sacred time. It's when you gather in, you bring the family in, you bring the animals in, and you mark that time. So we go down into the dark and then come up again at dawn. So that's why so many of our seasonal festivals, it's the evening of All Hallows. It's the evening of Christmas. It's the evening of Twelfth Night. It's the evening of Midsummer Night's Eve. All of those come from that Celtic sense of time of the day starting by turning inward first and then having this period of reflection and then coming up with your rising energy at dawn. So it's the same sense of the year. The year starts going into, we could call this the evening of the year. We're going into the dark earlier and earlier every day, and the year itself is going into its dark time, its fallow time, its rest time. There will be celebrations. There will be people having, Yule logs and candles and all kinds of things, and Christmas and Twelfth Night and all those things to brighten up that darkness. But the earth itself is going into its cave of hibernation. It will emerge again the end of January, beginning of February, with the ceremony of Imolc, the beginning of spring. And then as the sun rises through the equinox, it will go into May Day, Beltane, or Bealtaine, where things are fully blossoming, and that's the beginning of summer. It hit the peak of summer at midsummer solstice, and then the first harvest starts to come in about the beginning of August, and that's Lunasa, the Lama Sunday, the breaking of the first breads. Then we come and gather more and more harvest. There's a grain harvest, a fruit harvest, and then a root harvest. We are now at the end of the root harvest, digging up your carrots and bringing them in for the winter. So that gives you a sense of the flow of the year and how this is the opening of the portal to a whole new year, starting by going within.
And, I think that's so beautiful that how the Celtic traditions have intertwined all the of nature in with their ceremonies, even like how indigenous people and Native Americans or Peruvian shamans, they all have that
way of respecting all of the elements, including the ethers and the wind, fire, earth, water, and looking at how that all plays into it and how we've gotten so far away from being in the sink of doing things, around what food is available at certain times of the year, rather than now we can get food all the time rather than it just being in season.
Right, right. We've really lost touch with the cycles of nature. So this mm-hmm. is a nice way to at least go outside and notice the turning of the trees, and there's a bit of a cold wind. Even here, I'm speaking from Boulder, Colorado. We've had a glorious fall. We had a very wet winter, so the trees are in good shape. I mean, wet summer, and then a glorious fall. Not a little bit of rain, but then it dried out. We had clear blue skies, and what we might call Indian summer. That's the end of autumn, and you will notice as we turn into November that there's a change. The winds get colder. It will get more bitter. We will have our first significant snow. That's a cold snow. We didn't, sometimes we get wet snows in September, October here. But
right.
The cold that stays on the ground for a while. The trees are bare. And really the land is saying, I'm now in winter. I'm now going within. All the energy from the trees has come down deep into their roots where they're storing it for the spring. So hopefully the listeners can start to open their eyes to the change of the season. There is a difference from October. As we get into November, it gets colder, and winter really is arriving.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just find it very healing when you can interact with nature, especially when you're going through the grief loss process of,
uh-huh.
Allowing things to leave and letting them go, but looking at, what the loss is, but not getting engulfed in it or
uh-huh.
or overwhelmed by it. And can you talk
right.
a little bit about the grief loss process and the work you also do around that?
Sure. Sure. Well, I'm a licensed professional counselor and a soul-centered psychotherapist. I do holistic work. So I like to look at, body, mind, soul, spirit in any situation. And everyone experiences losses. It may be, a loss of a job or a loss of a relationship. Even positive change involves letting go of something that had been familiar and can be somewhat stressful. So a new job, has its own stresses.
Mm-hmm.
But often when we talk about grief, we're talking about a loss of a loved one. And there is a process. It's okay to be angry. It's okay. People go through stages of denial, both in the dying process and in the grieving process. So all those things of Kubler-Ross, of the stages of dying, are a part of the grieving process as well. So anger, depression, sadness, sort of wild grief, the Celts used to do keening, sort of a wailing kind of thing, which is actually a wonderful kind of a ritual to let go of lots of feelings. And I, I help people to hold that when they're falling apart. And that's a typical thing in grief counseling, is just to help give, the Searcher's Roadmap, help to give people a map of how all of those feelings are absolutely appropriate, not to let anybody say, well, you've been grieving for a year, you should get over it. People have their own time and own cycle of doing that. Mm-hmm. One of the things I also do shamanic work, and I have in the past, it was 10 years or so, added the psychotherapy form of EMDR to my practice, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So I don't actually do the eye movement part. I use headphones or buzzers, like holding two cell phones in your hand, to set up a left, right, rhythm. And an amazing thing that's coming about is using this, and I will send a link in the titles and everything to the things I'm talking about, to use EMDR to help people move more quickly through those grieving stages, and especially to get to the stage where you're just crying. And then at the end of that, when you've released that, you've finally maybe gotten through all your defenses and anger and you've touched your heart with grief, then in the silence that follows that, very often people have a communication with their loved one. And it feels very real. Often they get information they didn't know. There may be some sense of apologies or forgiveness. It can be quite joyful. And coming from that deep place, coming out of that, it just feels like so many things are resolved. You feel, you know, your loved one is safe. They're on their own path at this point, and you can feel that resolution and the gifts of that reconnection and move forward in your own life. So it's amazing how just adding that bilateral rhythm, the left right, sets up exactly the kind of brain waves and flow of blood from the sort of the places that hold a loss and trauma in the midbrain up to the forebrain, getting the left and right balanced and releasing the pain, and then being more present than ever with the love of the one who's passed, and moving on into your daily life then with a much lighter heart.
And that's kind of how you feel when you come into spring. I'm thinking of the pre-spring. You know, where
yes,
you're starting to regenerate and come back to life after a long rest of going through that. So that's the really neat part. And doing these ceremonies is, and I guess I'd like to have you talk about the importance of ritual and why ritual is so important for those of us on the earth at this time.
Okay. One of my teachers at Naropa University said, you know, dreams are the way that our unconscious psyche communicate with us. And ritual is a way that we can communicate back with that deeper part of our mind, our awareness, our psyche, the deeper, maybe older part that speaks in images. Dreams speak in images. Ritual, you have movement, you've got poetry, you've got sound, music, candles, sacred objects, and that speaks to that part of us that's beyond words. It brings the right and left brain into balance in some way, like I was talking with EMDR. So for an individual, that's important. For a group to come together and reaffirm their bonds, their community, having that big feast on Samhain, on Halloween, harvest feast, or other times of the year. And then going deeper. the power, the energy that a group can generate when everyone's on more or less the same page with the imagery is it's a stronger container, and you can get at, you know, you can feel that energy, and maybe even as you end your ritual, dedicate that energy to the earth, to healing nature, to as prayers for people who need healing, as raising the vibrations up, anything that feels appropriate, ending that ritual with a blessing of some sort. So it helps open people's hearts, get them out of their left brain into their right brain, get that balanced, open the heart, move the body, get beautiful images, and those images will last in your memory longer than something you've read in some text somewhere about whatever. Actually doing it with your body, with your voice, with all your senses, brings it into a place where you can hold that memory maybe for the rest of your life. I remember the first time I did an Imhoff ceremony, and I brought my kids with me. It was at Naropa in 1994, I think. And I was with a group of people studying Celtic mysticism and mythology. And we put together this ritual. And I passed out, in order to share the flame of Bridget, you want to give a little bit of that flame from a candle to everyone. The way I thought of doing that safely indoors is to have a cupcake full of dirt and a birthday candle. So we passed that flame from the altar to each of the participants in their own birthday cup with this birthday candle. And I remember the face of my child, my youngest boy, who was a redheaded, very Celtic-looking boy, as his face lit up just looking at this candle. And that image is going to stay with me till the day I die, from ritual.
And that's the nice thing about ritual is, too, you can personalize it, you can make it your own. It doesn't have to be a certain formula. You know, I mean, it can be lighting candles and incense and, you know, do deep breathing, or it can be, you know, dancing and singing and celebrating with a group of people.
Absolutely.
So, and how would you address that in your community when you're doing ceremony or ritual and someone's not done a lot of that?
Well, we just make it easy. We guide them through that. We'll give them a little bit of background like I did at the beginning, but Samhain. And we invite people to bring photos or objects that connect them to loved ones or ancestors, anyone who's passed over. So they're welcomed into this space, and they can interact with an altar where they can see some candlelight, see some images, and place their own photos and images there, which starts to open that process of connecting. We have a program that we follow, but it's something that is different every year, but has some similar elements. So people that come back to it will find a familiarity, but someone who has never been to something like this, there's no way to do it wrong. We'll be reading some poetry. We'll be inviting them to move a little bit. We have a movement piece where people are just walking slowly in a first one direction in a circle, and then stopping, stepping backwards, and feeling a connection to a grandparent. Stepping back a little bit further, feeling a connection to a deeper ancestor, and allowing themselves to just take in what that ancestor was like, what gifts they had, what their hardship was, and then we'll have the group step forward and then move forward in a circle. The things that help you, like if you concretize something, we'll have some dark stones, some dark river rock that people can hold that will kind of let them put their grief or whatever they're letting go of, just kind of like hold that rock like a touchstone, and then at the end of the ceremony release it into water and take a lighter colored stone to bring in all the gifts of the ceremony. We'll also do a little journey to the Kaliak, to the crone, the dark goddess of this time of year, the bringer of winter. So people are on, you know, we'll guide them through that, and they have their own images that they'll come up with. And we also have a little sharing of the sacred food, the apple, the hazelnut. And this year, I actually read in a Bobby Burns poem about Halloween, Robert Burns, a famous poet of Scotland, there was a divination that people used to do with hemp seeds. So, of course, in Colorado, well, anywhere, hemp seeds are legal, but it seems appropriate this year to have a little hemp seed, which is a very nutritious seed, as the end of our ceremony. So it's very easy. And these are things you can do with your family. You can any time in the next few days. This whole weekend is a sacred time. So after all the sugar's worn off with the kids and everything, maybe tomorrow night you have let's just think about the fall and the beautiful leaves and have a little family ceremony and find a few poems or something. It doesn't have to be a big deal to start to develop your own tradition, either at home or with a group of people. Mm-hmm. There are also plenty of people who offer ceremony in most communities around the Front Range here. But it can be large or small. And the point is to, and or by yourself, to light a candle and go inward.
And just kind of reflect on what this last year has been like, and then looking at what to let go of or to bury, so to speak, so that it can transform into something new in the spring.
Yes, exactly. So let me read something about that. It's about the ancient goddess, the Kaliach, which is also called a hag, you know, the old crone, sitting there with her wisdom, and people kind of put her down these days, but, you know, Granny next to the fire was really an important part of the culture, because she was the one that remembered stuff, remembered these traditions. So going back further to the ancient goddess, the Kaliach, let me read this, and then maybe after that we'll do a little guided meditation for people to let go of their own what they've gathered in and what they need to let go of for this time of year.
That sounds great.
So this is kind of gets the images of the land and the goddess. The Veiled One, the Kaliach, is the ancient earth herself. She is the lichen-covered rocks and the mountain peaks. She is the bare earth covered with snow and frost. She is the deep ancestress, veiled by the passage of time. At Halamas, Brigid withdraws her green mantle from the earth. With a last stunning flourish of color, her power withdraws into the ground. The very soil now holds all of life. Plants have deposited their seeds there to wait for the return of the light. Trees now only live in their roots, leaving their branches bare to the keen winds. Animals as small as insects and as large as bears go into the earth to sleep the winter away. The wet of the winter rains helps last year's plants to transform into fertile soil for the next season of growth. The Kaliak is the goddess who oversees this transformation. She is the one who watches over the culling of old growth. She is the death goddess who lets die what is no longer needed. But in the debris of the passing year, she also finds the gems, the seeds for the next season. She is the guardian of the seed, the keeper of the essential life force. She holds the very essence of power.
Well, that was really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to
let
our listeners know that they can reach me at thesearchersroadmap@gmail.com if you have any topic or subjects that you would like to have discussed on the show. Please email me or contact me on Facebook. Rhonda Harrison or Birdness 5757 is my Facebook page. And you want to tell them how to get a hold of you again, Edie, and then we could do that guided meditation.
Yes, yeah. You can get a hold of me at 303-415-3755. Edie Stone, E-D-I-E-S-T-O-N-E, at boulder.net. Or check out ediestone.com, E-D-I-E-S-T-O-N-E.com. And there's ways of getting there. I also have a meetup group. You can get to meet up and search for Celtic Spirituality in Colorado, and that will get you to that page, and it'll have announcements of all the things we do throughout the year.
And that meetup page is on Google. I mean, on Google Plus.
Meetup.
No,
meetup.com.
Meetup.com. Okay, so that's a different one, not the Hangout one that I was thinking of. There's
no
different ones anymore. So it's
meetup. This is your official meetup group, place. It's a wonderful
time. And that link is on today's information on the site today, so you guys can click on it and go right to it.
Great, excellent.
Yeah.
So let's do a little guided meditation here.
Okay.
A little journey, a little Halloween, Samhain journey.
That sounds great.
I've got some fairy bells right here that will start to set the mood, and I'll chime them as we're going into that. Is the volume on that okay?
Yes, it is.
Okay, lovely. So that will just kind of go here as I talk, and just everyone in the listening audience can. Just find a place where you're sitting comfortably. It may help to have your feet flat on the floor, unless you're young and flexible and can sit cross-legged. Put your feet on the floor. As we talked about the trees taking their energy, all that they've been growing, all those wonderful sugars that they've made from the sunlight in their leaves and going into the ground, into the roots. The first thing you want to do in a meditation like this is to ground, find your feet, and visualize yourself growing roots down into the earth. You may also want to have a grounding cord that goes from your base chakra, base of your spine, down into the earth. If you have extra energy or get a little wobbly, just connect down that way and release anything that's coming in too fast for you or that you don't need. So earth, those roots in the earth ground you, and you can also receive nourishment, earth energy, up through them. So then become aware again of the cycle of the seasons, the day, and the directions. And east is is the direction of the rising sun in the air. So take in a deep breath and welcome the east, the air. See or imagine the south, and right now the sun is shining brightly here. Wherever you are, feel the warmth of the sun, the light, the fire, and just take that in, that fiery energy. Move or imagine the west, the waters, the sunset, and the fall that we're in right now. And as we pass through the fall and enter into the winter, feel the north and the earth and the beautiful stars. So bringing that circle all the way around to full circle, back to the east. You're in the space, you're in a sacred space. Feel the earth beneath you, the sky above you, and come to your own sacred center. And then just, I'll give you just some fairy bells for a few moments. Be thinking back to this year of all the things you've harvested, projects, anything you've given birth to, anything creative, poetry, a child, all the things that you've worked so hard for this year and brought into yourself. So take a moment to think of that. And then bring your awareness to the shift of the seasons, the shift into the eve of Samhain, the eve of All Hallows, and those things that you need to be letting go of. If you have had a loss, just touch lightly on that at this moment. If there's some things that are bad habits that you need to let go of, if there's cleansing you need to do in your life, if there's a friendship that no longer serves you, you need to say goodbye to that. If there's a phase of life that you're moving through, that you're saying goodbye to, a move that you've made and needing to say goodbye to old friends or locations. Just simply let that flow. You no longer have to hold on to that. So touch into that, those things that you let go of. And then just as that, in that passage I just read, there are seeds which encapsulate all the harvest. That's the fruit of the harvest. So any seeds that you have of intentions for the new year, of blessings, of what you'd like to be planting, but need some fallow time right now, allow those seeds to come into your awareness and bring them directly to your mind and hold them in your heart. And then having touched through with gratitude all the harvest of this year, the letting go of what you no longer need to hold on to, and finding those seeds. I'd like, especially for that part that you're letting go of, imagine yourself going out to a bonfire tonight. Create that fire in your mind and either imagine writing on a piece of paper or holding a dry leaf that you can let go of one, two, many things that you need to let go of. So imagine, now that you've touched those things, to offer them to the fire, to see the process of fire taking and clarifying and transforming like a phoenix, transforming or those things that have held you back. And then with the seeds, imagine taking those seeds and planting them in a planter, in a garden. Plant those seeds so that you can hold that, maybe it's a flower pot with the seeds in it through the winter, so that when those spring rains come, you can water those projects. You can bring forth all those flowers and fruits. And if you have some hemp seeds tonight, you can also take the seeds for your intentions and imagine casting them into the future. That ancient divination is casting the seeds and then harrowing or raking them. Then moving away from that and looking backwards over those cast seeds to see a vision perhaps of your new love or of your project growing. So do that in your mind right now, and you may want to create a ritual out of this meditation. So, gathering your seeds, you may bring that image of the seeds forward, that planter forward in your mind. And then we will return from our little journey here. Start to come back to your body. Feel your feet on the ground. Allow yourself to breathe in the sky. Feel the earth below, the sky above. Breathe in that freshness. And thank the east and the air, the south and the fire, the west and the water, the north and the earth. Thank the earth below, the sky above, and that center, that sacred self within you. Allow yourself to gather all the images and to hold them in your heart and mind. Blessed be. Everybody come back. So, Rhonda, are we together here again?
Yes, we are. I was just giving everyone a chance to come back in after that wonderful journey. Very beautiful and very calming and kind of like letting go of things and just like watching them wisp away in the wind like a leaf.
Yes, nice image. Yes.
you know, just like floating, that leaf floating along and just drifting away from you with no resentment, no ties, no guilt, shame, whatever. Just, okay, it's time to go. See ya.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think in this time, it is easier for us to let go of those things and to see them depart and not really want to struggle to get them back.
Mm-hmm. Right. The earth rhythm supports us in doing that at this time.
And it's,
and the,
you know,
and
it's
and
just
the
so beautiful.
Leave. You know, the trees let go of the leaves and
yeah, I mean, we're not the only one that, like, lets go of things, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, plants let go of their flowers, and then they bring on the seeds, and then they let them go. You know, and it seems like we, as human beings, tend to really like to fight that letting go thing.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
We want it to, you know, go all the way to the end. But we're at the end of the show, and I really appreciate all the information you've given us, Edie, and
mm-hmm.
I wish I could be down for the ceremony, but due to my surgery, I won't be down there for a bit.
Right.
But
yeah, we've had a ceremony here. And,
yeah, we did, and
yeah,
it was very beautiful.
I would like to close with a piece by Kathleen Matthews.
Sure, you can do that.
All right. You want to end this ceremony and this sacred radio show with a blessing. So this is a blessing, a song. We could think of this as a song of the Kaliak as she arrives and welcomes us to Halloween, All Hallows Eve. I am the hallow tide of all souls passing. I am the bright releaser of all pain. I am the quickener of the fallen seed case. I am the glance of snow, the strike of rain. I am the hollow of the winter twilight. I am the hearth fire and the welcome bread. I am the curtained awning of the pillow. I am unending wisdom's golden thread. So a blessing to everyone at this sacred time of the year. Take a moment to enjoy the sunset wherever you are, to recognize that as the beginning of 3 days of sacred parties, sacred trick-or-treaters,
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of possibilities of connection with those you love in this life and in those who are departed, that you can offer, you know, your own blessing in whatever way you wish for those who have passed.
Well, with that, we'll be closing. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. And we will return again next week with a Kundalini, Pam Rennie with the Angel Therapy. Angel Alchemist will be with us next week. And with that, Edie, thank you so very much for joining us today. And we'll be looking forward to having you on again.
Yes, thank you so very much for inviting me. This was great fun.
All right. Well, I'll let you go. Thank you.
Thank you.